You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. The epistle for this morning comes to us from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his first letter, beginning in chapter 9, verses 16 to 23. Before I get there, as we're beginning the second month of 2024, some of us have already this year experienced some significant highs and some difficult lows. It's one of the things that this class meeting endeavor has shown to me. Life in this world is like that, highs and lows, even for those who call themselves Christians. And so I think it's important this morning to ground us in the Word of God. Because when highs get breathtakingly high and the lows are scraping rock bottom, the only firm place on which we can get our bearings, the only place that gives us any stability at all, the only place that brings all of the rocking and rolling and tossing and turning of this tumultuous life into balance and perspective is the firm foundation of the Word of God. Thank you for that amen, Gene, because we should all take heed of the lesson that comes to us from 1 Corinthians this morning. We're looking at Paul's letter to the Corinthians. I'm going to read it from the Message version. I think the language of the Message version is right on. Might not be a literal translation, but it gets the point as good as any version of the Bible I've read. Listen to what Paul says. He says, "If I proclaim the message, the gospel, it's not to get something out of it for myself. I'm compelled to do it, and I'm doomed if I don't. If this was my own idea or just another way to make a living, I'd expect some pay. But since it's not my idea but something solemnly entrusted to me, why would I expect to get paid? So am I getting anything out of it? Yes. As a matter of fact, the pleasure of proclaiming the gospel at no cost to you. You don't even have to pay my expenses." It's a good thing our treasurer's not here. "Even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone," Paul says, "I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. Religious, non-religious, meticulous moralists, loose-living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did all this because of the gospel. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it." See, Paul's saying, I'm not spreading the gospel in order to gain anything personally. I'm compelled to do it. I'm mandated to do it. I'm commanded to do it by Jesus Christ himself. What's more, Paul says, I'm entrusted to spread the gospel. I've been sent by God, and because of that sending, I'm enthusiastic about my mission and my ministry. I'm joyful about doing it. Do you feel that way about your ministry? Are you joyful in doing the things that God has purposed for you to do? Paul says, you don't have to pay me to do what I'd gladly do for free. In fact, spreading the gospel gives me great pleasure. Paul tells us that he loves what he does so much that he has volunteered to be a servant, not just to the Christ followers, but to even the most extreme factions and types of people out there. Do you know any of those types of people? We refer to them as those people, right? Those people, because they're different. They're different from us. Jesus ate with sinners, and so Paul says, I'm willing to enter the world of the most unlikely and unlikable people in order to lead them into a relationship that they desperately need, a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Have you eaten with any sinners lately? I eat with one every day. I just have to look in the mirror. And there he is. Paul says, in order to win them over to Christ, I'm willing to be all things to all people. Not by becoming like them, not by behaving in an un-Christ-like manner, but by being an example to them of the genuine, honest, truthful representative of the one true God. To give them an example of what it looks like, sounds like, is like to be godly. To be a saved person navigating through an unsaved world. To be holy in an unholy world. Just so I know you're awake, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm holy in an unholy world. Yes, indeed you are. See, the gospel message is important to all people because the gospel is for all people. And Jesus Christ is the only one who is actually all things to all people. He's the only one who can, on his own merit and on his own strength, be all things to all people. The rest of us simply have to rely on him to equip us to be like him. I'm reminded years ago, Angela and I were leading youth group together at Radiant Church in Atascocita. And we would start our groups with everyone sharing one high and one low for their past week. It was a rudimentary exercise in how each person experienced God since the last time that we met, and how God walked with them through the storms and the struggles of their individual lives since last week. It was, in effect, a simplified version of the Wesleyan class meeting, much like what we did at Wednesday night Bible study last Wednesday. And I found that applying that practice to this season of life in which I find myself thus far this year, we're only starting on the second month, mind you, my high centers on the amazing covenant maker and keeper who is our God. As I was working on the message for this morning, I was sitting in my home office and I was reminded by the ordination certificate on my wall that today, this very Sunday, February 4th, 2024, marks exactly 1 year to the day that I was ordained as an elder in the Global Methodist Church by the laying on of hands by Bishop Scott Jones. At the convening conference of the Eastern Texas Conference of the Global Methodist Church, now the Trinity Conference that includes global churches in Texas, Louisiana, and Arkansas, and I can rejoice in how far we have come as a congregation, how far I've come personally as a pastor, and how far the church universal has come, discerning where we need to be in worshiping our Lord Jesus. After more than a decade of ministry in the United Methodist Church, trying to faithfully serve as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, after much struggle and hardship, feeling like so many of my fellow clergy that we in our traditional beliefs concerning the authority of Scripture, the divinity and lordship of Christ, 2,000 plus years of the apostles' teaching, after struggling because we knew that those beliefs and teachings were not wanted in the UMC. Finally, we had arrived in a place that God had planned for us. For me personally, as an elder in the GMC, where we can worship passionately, love extravagantly, witness boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ. Personally, I couldn't get much higher in my highs. And I realized, I was reminded that the season of patience and obedience was a lesson for me and for all of us. We need to learn sooner rather than later that the lesson of patience and obedience to the Word of God, just like Isaiah tells us in chapter 40, verse 31, but those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Patience, obedience, waiting on the Lord for strength. That's where we need to be. My personal high is the realization that, as Paul says in Romans, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way to peace. Whatever struggles and conflicts and turmoil are going on in your world, the only way to peace is through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. I love what Paul says there. He says, we celebrate in hope of the glory of God. Not only this, but we also celebrate in our tribulations. It's hard to do, isn't it? But we celebrate in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Isn't it wonderful that the lows that we experience in life, when we cling to Jesus and the Word of God, begat, bring forth the highest of highs in our life? The highs are brought to bear by the waiting, the slogging, the pushing through the trials and the tribulations of the seasons of low, where we spend many hours in prayer, many hours in lament. Don't let that word scare you. Lament is a healthy biblical practice. Lament is not complaining. Lament is pleading with God for his mercy, grace, and relief from the struggles of life. See, the Psalms are full of godly people lamenting their circumstances and situations. God is capable of hearing our laments. And so during the low seasons of life, it can seem as if everything is coming against you, can't it? Rhetorical question, don't raise your hand, but are you going through a low season already in 2024, first week of February? What do you do when things take an unexpected turn in your life? What do you do when things suddenly don't match the plans that you made, the hopes that you had for the way things would actually go? Anybody ever have their life go in an unexpected direction? What do you do when the rug is pulled out from under you and you feel as if the fall to the rocky bottom is greater than you can manage, greater than you can handle? I've spent much time contemplating those concepts, searching the scriptures for the answers to those questions that come in the low seasons of life. I know some of you here in this very room have had the rug of your life pulled out from under you this year already. I've heard and I've seen some real struggles in this congregation and the one up in Shepherd. We lament together the great fall to the rocky bottom. So what's the answer when our life goes that way? What do we do? How do we go on? How do we continue to keep the faith, to do the ministry, to take the next step, to keep on going? The tendency, the reaction is to quit. That's the human reaction. I'm done. I'm taking my toys and I'm going home. That's the reaction. How do we do the next step? How do we keep the faith? How do we keep going in ministry when things aren't going our way? The answer is we turn to the one who is capable of being all things to all people. The one who is able to be all the things we need: grace, mercy, hope, love, dignity. The only one who can be all those things to us. The one who equips us to be holy people in an unholy world. We turn to him and we understand that the prophecy in Isaiah is true, as true for us today as it was when Isaiah put quill to papyrus. That's pen to paper in case you didn't get the reference. As true today as it ever was. Did you hear it in the lesson this morning from Isaiah that Angel read for us? The part of the reading from Isaiah 40 that says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired." His understanding is unsearchable. He gives strength to the weary. And to the one who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. See, in our humanness, when we just want to throw in the towel and move on. If we pause and realize that the strength of character, the strength of will, the strength of ability doesn't come from our own strength. It's not willpower, it's God's power. Then we truly can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can face down the demons, wherever they may be. Whatever and whoever comes against us and causes us inner turmoil, disturbs the peace in our souls, whoever and whatever they are to us. When we turn to Christ, we will mount up with wings like eagles. We will overcome. We will rise above the stuff that the world throws at us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.